Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you might think our maps are detailed enough, but over the last 14 years, two aircraft carrying specialist equipment have been charting every piece of our island, and they're close to finishing the project. Jim Hodgson is a senior journalist and TELUS project manager. Jim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
What kind of specialist equipment is on these two planes?
So we in the Geological Survey Island are really interested in the geology and the rocks, and we have three instruments on board the aircraft that measure different things. So one of them measures the Earth's magnetic field and the magnetic properties of the rocks. We also measure the conductivity of the soils and rocks. And finally, we have another instrument which looks at kind of natural radiation coming off sort of soil.
Right. And are these things we don't know at the moment? I assume they're not.
We know some things about them, but what we're doing here is actually providing more detail. So it's effectively modern geological mapping. So the Geological Survey has been around since 1845, and we have really good geological maps, but they were created by people walking along the fields, finding a bit of rock outcrop, might be a bit of limestone, and they mark it down on a map, and they move to the next outcrop and another bit of limestone, and then they join the dots. But obviously, where you don't have rock at the surface, those maps might be more difficult to make. So what this geophysics, airborne geophysics survey allows us to do is we collect millions and millions of data points as we fly over the country on a series of grid lines. And it allows us not only to kind of survey areas which are difficult to reach, so they might be under peat bogs or up in mountains or underwater, but it allows us to see beneath the soil and make really detailed geological maps, which we can then use for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, and give us some examples, if you like, of what kinds of things this information can be used for.
So obviously, if we have better information about the subsurface and the rocks and the soils beneath our feet, we can make better decisions. So if you want to drill a water well, for example, obviously it's much better to drill that in a nice fractured limestone where there has lots of water compared to, say, a granite. So if we have better understanding of the rocks and what's beneath and how deep that goes, we can drill in the right places. Currently, we're doing a lot of work with geothermal energy. So we plan later this year to drill some very deep boreholes, which might go 1 kilometre or 2 kilometres down into the earth. So not only does the geophysics give us information about the rocks at the surface, but also gives us information that rocks are much greater depth. So when you're drilling down sort of 2 kilometres into the earth, you need to have a good understanding of the properties of those rocks. Are they fractured? Does water flow through them? And it makes sort of management of our resources much better.
Yeah.
We've also worked a lot with kind of the Environment Protection Agency. So I mentioned one of the instruments measures natural radiation. And one of the elements we can measure is actually uranium. And people may be aware of radon gas, which is actually a decay product of uranium. So by using the information we collect and the geological information we have, we can actually map radon risk areas and let people know if they're kind of susceptible or in a difficult area for radon.
Right. Do many of these things vary? For instance, you know, the magnetic field, if you're measuring it now and maybe you're getting a particular measurement, if you came back in 5 years' time, might that be different?
Well, you're onto one of my favourite subjects with the magnetic field. So the magnetic field actually varies on a daily basis. There's a diurnal variation. So we actually have to measure, we have an instrument on the aircraft, but we also have a base station measurement because we need to correct for the daily variation we see in the magnetic field. But the magnetic field itself also varies over time, over the number of years. So the North Pole will actually wander around, so it doesn't always stay in the same place. And actually every few million years or so, it actually flips. So the North Pole becomes a South Pole. Hmm. So we have to take all those kind of variations into account when we correct our data, because as you said at the very start, we've been doing this survey since 2011, 14 years. And actually the magnetic properties are actually going to change within that time frame. So we started up in the north of the country in County Donegal. And this year we've just started. We had our first flight today and we'll be flying counties kind of Clare and Kerry. So we've been working our way slowly south. It's taken quite a long time because the instruments on board the aircraft are susceptible to weather. So we can't fly when it's raining, when it's too windy, or the cloud is low. So hence why it's taken us quite a while to kind of complete the survey.
And so Clare and Kerry are the last two counties to be done?
That's correct, yeah. So we started in the north, in County Donegal. And it's like sort of doing a kind of a jigsaw piece. So we do one block, one grid, and then we overlap the next grid and slowly work our way south with the survey.
After 14 years, would there be almost a temptation of we'll start all over again now because all these readings may vary?
What we're interested in is actually the rocks, and the rocks themselves aren't actually varying. Mm. So the magnetic field itself will vary, but the actual properties of the rocks won't change. And that's hence when we correct for the magnetic field, we can actually see the results and the properties of the rock, which then we can use to make better geological maps.
Jim, thanks a million for speaking with us today, and best of luck with Kerry and Clare, the two remaining counties. That was Jim Hodgson there, a senior geologist and TELUS project manager.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.